Coronavirus has come to Philadelphia, proving that the CDC was right. It wasn't just a matter of if, but when the illness would hit home. Before this even happened, a group of researchers called the Philadelphia Pandemic Preparedness Project band together to see how the city would handle something like this. So how prepared is Philadelphia? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why.
So I'm Harvey Rubin. I'm professor of medicine and computer science at the University of Pennsylvania. And I study bacterial pathogenesis in my laboratory. We try and figure out how bacteria adapt to various environments to survive. In particular, my interest has been in global health and in mathematical modeling and preparedness.
Tell me how your group got started.
So that's a project that we're doing at the College of Physicians under the leadership of Dr. George Wallreich, who's the president of the Philadelphia College of Physicians. And it's loosely called the Philadelphia Pandemic Preparedness Plan. This was a grant that Dr. Wallreich secured over a year and a half ago now from Blue Cross Blue Shield. So we've been working on this project for well over a year. Back in 2006, at that point, Maya Street asked me and Pedro Ramos, who was the managing director at the time, to head up a program called the Emergency Preparedness Review Committee. And that was funded by the city. And it was to readdress or address the entire preparedness for all hazards. That included hurricanes, floods, you name it. And when Dr. Wallreich got the grant, he asked me to head up this much smaller, more focused program on just infectious disease. The subject matter expanded from pandemics to any infectious disease of consequence. What we mean by that is it could be one outbreak of a very dangerous organism. It could be a bioterrorist event. It could be something where it was totally unanticipated but hadn't reached the level of pandemic.
What is a pandemic?
Generally speaking, it's multiple outbreaks in multiple countries with a certain level of individuals affected. So we've certainly reached that level now. We may not have the absolute volume, but I think we're getting there.
At what moment in your work did this cease becoming an intellectual exercise for you? And you got to the point where you were like, oh my God, this is really happening, right, as you watch this all unfold in real time.
Right. We had interviewed dozens of people, everybody from FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Group, the FBI, to the Hospital Association of Pennsylvania, to the Philadelphia Department of Public Health, trying to get our hands around this. And we had done hundreds of interviews and reviewed hundreds of documents, and we were basically getting ready to write our report when all this started emerging, and we thought better to see how this plays out than to issue a final report. And you hit on that point that as we were developing our work, everybody said, oh, you know, that's important. I'm glad you're doing this. And it never rose to the level of, wow, we better start doing something serious about this. Then around about December, January, certainly February, people started saying, these guys have been looking at this all along. You know, what have they found? What are some of the take-home lessons? So once the reports came out of China, and then it was quickly realized that this is not going to be constrained to China and Wuhan, but that it's going to spread around the world. And I hate to say it, not that anybody is a genius about this, but this, people have predicted this all along. We didn't know that it would be this year with this strain of coronavirus, with this level of still unyet known mortality, but people knew that this was going to happen.
How did they know?
Well, you just look through history, and it doesn't take remote history. You can even go back in time. So there was Zika. Before that, there was Ebola. Before that, there was H1N1. Then there's Ebola again and measles. And so nature's going to throw infectious diseases at us no matter what we do, and we have to be prepared. And not being prepared, the consequence is what we're seeing now.
What are the biggest questions right now in terms of how the region would respond?
The biggest question that we have is how many people in our region are actually infected. And that raises one of the issues that there's been a lot of criticism over, and that's the ability to test. We do not have the ability to test enough people. It's just coming online now, and eventually we'll know much more about how this disease spreads if we get the data. knowing the science, knowing the data is maybe the most important issue. Once we have that, then we can make decisions as a community. Should schools be closing? What are we going to do about 10 relays?
Right.
What are we going to do about graduation? We have thousands of kids whose parents have spent a lot of money to send them to our great colleges. Should they come and see the graduation? So these are issues that the community will have to confront in collaboration with the Department of Health and emergency management.
Is Philadelphia at greater risk than other cities?
I think Philadelphia is at risk. And I think part of the reason for that is that we're a major metropolitan hub. We have Amtrak going through our city. We're on a major Northeast corridor. We have a number of people living in poverty. We have people of all demographics and age groups. But on the other hand, we do have major medical centers. We have a terrific medical community. We are aware of the issue that's confronting us.
So knowing that Philadelphia is maybe at greater risk than a lot of other cities, in your opinion, are we prepared?
I think we have a long way to go. I think it would be a mistake to say we're not prepared, but it would be a mistake to say that we're totally prepared. Don't worry. I can't say don't panic, for sure. But again, it's really an issue of having everybody step up, the local, state, community governments to step up to the plate, be honest, open, transparent about the data. Hiding data and massaging it doesn't help anybody. With the right kind of organizational structure, which includes information systems, I think our city and many other major metropolitan cities should have what we call a dashboard, where public health officials can go and know where the flow of money is. As you know, Governor Wolf had an emergency declaration of funds available from the general fund. Where is that money? How is it going to be spent? Who can get that money? What's the numbers in our community? Having that dashboard, not just for this, but going into the future, one thing we absolutely must do is remember what happened and not go back to destroying and underfunding the organizations.
How do you anticipate this ending? In the past, we've heard all about these outbreaks, you know, bird flu, SARS, which is a strain of coronavirus, and Ebola, and then suddenly we don't hear about them anymore. So does that mean that it's been contained, and can we expect the same thing to happen with this coronavirus?
I wish I could tell you an exact answer. The one thing about this virus is that we don't know enough about it just yet. So the vaccine will take a while to come on board. People are looking at countermeasures, antiviral agents that may be available sooner than a vaccine. Social distancing will help. Quarantining may help. But you can look around the world in other outbreaks. You know, measles is still among us. Ebola is maybe going away in parts of Africa, but will come back. Zika can come back. So all of these issues will clearly be an issue again.
When we come back, Philly's first case of coronavirus. This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall.
Thank you, and thank you for coming today. COVID-19 has been spreading across the globe, and today, as we expected and planned for, has reached Philadelphia. I can confirm that the Health Department, in consultation with the State Health Department and CDC, have confirmed that Philadelphia has a case of the coronavirus.
We taped our conversation with Dr. Rubin on Tuesday, before the first case of coronavirus hit Philly. Now that it's here, we wanted to ask Dr. Rubin if anything had changed in how his group is telling people to prepare.
Hi, it's Dr. Rubin.
Hey, Dr. Rubin, it's Annette John Hall at The Y.
Hi, Annette. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm sorry to be a pest, but I had
No problem. You want to ask, got to ask away.
Okay, I will ask away. So now that we know that there's the first case of coronavirus has hit Philly, what are some of the things that you know that the city should be doing right now?
My three levels of preparedness: personal, community, and government. We still have to get our testing out there.
Can you give us like a behind-the-scenes look of how the city agencies are working together now?
As we developed our report, the one area that we heard pretty commonly from all the agencies was that there has to be better interagency cooperation, and that went across the board. That will be one of our recommendations, that there is more intensive cooperation between the Department of Health, FEMA, the office. I understand the emergency center will be stood up tomorrow. So those are the kinds of things that have to occur when you see this level of intensity continue to rise up in the community.
The center that you mentioned, Dr. Rubin, what does it do?
OEM, that is where all the agencies sit together. People from all the city agencies and the partners and all the stakeholders literally sit in a room with computer screens discussing and watching various events. And that's an important development.
Is Philadelphia different in the way it prepares than any other city?
I don't think that we'll find that we're unique in any way, that we're less or more prepared than other cities. As we talk to other cities, we find that they're going through the same learning curve. And that's why how this whole event plays out will be very important to study going forward. This will be an important moment in the history of medicine. And how did various cities prepare for the event? And fortunately or unfortunately, Philadelphia is a little bit later in accumulating cases. So there's much more experience out in California, more experience in Texas, more experience in Florida, more experience in New York. We're just catching up with getting more data as testing gets rolled out. So we'll see. History, we'll learn as this is a moving target.
So Dr. Rubin, what are you looking for now?
We're looking for the data. We're looking for how widespread is the disease, who's getting sick. Will we see the same vulnerable populations getting sick? Kids seem to be more resistant. The elderly, 60, 70, 80, more seriously affected. We're looking for the data right now. We're also looking for the effectiveness of social distancing. That's really important. You know, that has a very major effect on can we contain and mitigate this event.
Well, that was going to just segue into my other question. Would you be looking then at how the city handles their response?
You're exactly right. How will the city now face this whole issue of school closings, college closings, event cancellation? This will be studied for many years. This is a major global event that will be studied both biologically, scientifically, medically, and historically and socially. This will be the subject of many PhD theses going forward.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Rubin, for getting back
it's
on the
always,
phone with us.
Always a pleasure.
We appreciate
always
it.
Always a pleasure. Okie doke.
Thanks you. So much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was University of Pennsylvania professor and researcher, Dr. Harvey Rubin. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Binyakov, Alex Stern, Kelsey Hansen, and Buffy Gorilla, under the editorial direction of Katie Culinary. Our intern is Kelly Brennan. Hit me up on Twitter @AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.